We're doing Parshas Truma now. The first inyan in Parshas Truma, probably the only one we'll do today, is a Sefer Chinuch explaining the inyan of the Mishkan, Beis Hamikdash, etc. As is usual with Rishonim, they don't always structure themselves in the sense of now we're going to talk about point A, and now we'll discuss B and C. There's a natural flow, and sometimes many of the yesodos that are very important are in places that you don't expect it. In this chinuch, where his point is to give the tam of the Mishkan and the Mikdash, he actually discusses a few other things about the idea of giving time and mitzvahs and so on. So the whole piece is quite important, and even though it's going off on other topics, but the topics are important, and we'll try to do almost all of it. He is going to try to give a reason for the Beis Hamikdash, the Mishkan, etc. His first point is the audacity of giving an explanation about it. So, the mitzvah is Livnos Beis Hashem Hashem. For those of you who have the sheets, we're skipping the first paragraph. It just outlines it. Maybe we actually should read the first line. He says, the mitzvah Beis Hamikdash is Livnos Beis Hashem Hashem, to build a Beis Hamikdash. Kloma, what does it mean? Sheniyah makrivim shom karbonos of Elov, that we should bring karbonos there. V'shom tia aliyah l'regel v'kibbutz k'yisol v'chol shana. And Klai Yisrael should be all the regel there every year, shenema v'osu l'mikdash. So the chinuch is defining in a very succinct way, what does it mean a bayis l'shem Hashem? When it says we're going to build a house for HaKadosh Baruch, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch needs a house. It means, one, it's the place where avodah takes place, karbanis take place. And two, aliyah l'regel is an extremely fundamental part of the Beis Hamikdash. It's where a person can go to uplift himself from his daily activities. We have to understand the structure of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael had a pinnacle, which was the Beis Hamikdash and Shevet Levi. The vast majority of Klal Yisrael, 80%, 90%, maybe even more because of just the numbers, the way they were, of Klal Yisrael were busy in their field, someplace in Haifa, Naria, and, you know, taking care of the normal, daily, mundane activities. Beis Hamikdash is a place where a person needs to occasionally pull himself away from his mundane activities and recharge his batteries, and that was a central element of Beis Hamikdash. Beis Hamikdash served two purposes. One, a place to bring karbanis. Two, a place to come for aliyah l'regel. It wasn't like another ancillary mitzvah to yontif. By the way, you're doing lulav, you're doing esrog, you're doing sukkah. How about aliyah l'regel also? It goes to the heart of what Beis Hamikdash represents to Klal Yisrael. That's the first paragraph. Mishrosh mitzvah zu mashiter b'sof tevarai. What the mitzvah is about, you're going to see at the end of my words. But first, an apology. V'ochin miyiratzi l'skar b'mishkan Hashem. I'm scared to get closer to Hamikdash, because I know that if you get closer to Hamikdash without becoming kadosh, he cannot lo yira habayis v'chai. It's misa to come to Hamikdash when you're soiled. Gama kohanim negoshem al Hashem al avoda yiskadoshu bevorom al hakodesh lifnai. And kohanim who are coming to be over to Hashem also need to be mekadosh themselves. And the Leviim, my brethren, had to become tohar. He drops an interesting allusion to the fact that he is a Levi. And Aaron had to lift them up before they could voice their voices in the Beis Hamikdash. And so I feel I also must offer an apology and wash myself clean before I attempt to ascend to Hashem. In other words, he's saying it's presumptuous of me to speak about the most the most profound aspect of Kedusha that there is in Avodas Hashem, the Beis Hamikdash. How do I talk about it? And it's important we learn from Rishonim not only what they said, how they said it. The idea that you can divorce the person from the ideas he's saying, that you can sit back, you know, with your feet on the desk and learn Kabbalah, kind of, and so on. There's a sense of, where am I entering? And he's putting it down as something which is giving him pause. I'm going to speak now about awesome things. Who am I? Where am I? Yes?
Rabbi, how does Rabbi reconcile that with the Rambam's approach in the beginning of Shmona Parakim, where he talks about how he's not going to mention who is the source of his Maimras, because it's the Maimar, not the Omro, that's important?
Well, here he's talking about the topic about what am I discussing. I'm discussing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm discussing, he himself, the Rambam is looking at what he felt were things that were emes. He's collecting it and saying, these are things that are emes. The Chinuch is saying, I am now going to say chidushi, I'm going to say my own, by what right? I need to be fearful of saying things that, what am I talking about? So, he's going to offer, the point that he's going to offer as defense is that there are different areas. Torah itself comes with different sides and different meanings. And one can relate to something on a lower plane without touching the higher plane, and one can get something from it. And he says, Yadu adavim fursum beinenu ha'amekavla mitzvahs. It's quite well known. Kishivim panim la'Torah. There are 70 facets. And each one has great roots, and each root lets many branches. Each one has much fruit. Daily there are blossoms and all sorts of flowers of wisdom and seichel, all of them enlightening with a breadth and a depth that go beyond the person. Like Shlomo HaMelech said about himself, Amarti Echkema, I felt I would know wisdom to its ends, and it's far from me. And still he says, the person should not give up because the tree is so big and so many fruits. Because when it takes a little bit or a lot, it all is pleasant. And maybe there's some fruits that you can't reach, but why don't you take the leaves at least? They're also useful. And he says, I myself, knowing how great the Torah is and how deep it is and how beholden from me it is, I still want to speak about it, and I sort of rely on what Chazal said, that a person should study even if he doesn't completely understand what he's saying and so on. Basically what he's saying is there are levels of understanding, and each one is appropriate, each one contains things that are wise to it, and so on and so forth. I want to maybe make a side comment. I've heard people, there are people who are zocher to learn Chachmas Apnim, zocher to learn Kabbalah. Hard for me to judge who really knows, who doesn't know, and so on, but there are people. And then you get some sort of snide remarks about the people who learn LP Pshat, the people who learn LP this, LP that. It's very wrong. It's not... the Ayin Panim LaTorah, each one is a complete world of emes, each one is a complete world of depth, each one is something. You may say that those fruits are higher on the tree, you may speak about the mile of any one part of it, but every single part of it is a world, and a complete world, and a world of emes to it. So it's wrong, the attitude where, the real pshat is alpi Kabbalah, alpi Hasidus, alpi this, alpi that. Different people have different points where they feel they get the most out of it, and that's fine. But understand that each facet of Torah in itself is a world that is life-giving, and it's full. Okay, now he goes to explain, to give his explanation of the Beis HaMikdash and so on. So first he gives a hakdam about mitzvahs. Dabni says, no. That everything that, all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants out of the mitzvahs is that the mitzvahs be agents that change us and make us capable of getting the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us good, And it's only possible for us to get it if we are people that have a kli kibul for the good. If a person is not good, then you can't bestow goodness upon him. A person needs to develop himself, and each and every one of those mitzvahs make the person into a kli for receiving that good. And that's why he says, "Valkein adim derech tov liosam tovim." He taught them the road of goodness, so that they themselves become good. And this is what the path of the Torah is about. So if a person does the mitzvahs, then he's fulfilling the divine will, because he's now able to receive good. And the person who doesn't develop himself and is incapable of receiving the good, then he's thwarting God's will, because he is making himself into someone that can't connect to God's goodness. That is the basic theme of all mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are there to shape a person, to develop a person. The next page, he becomes someone who is good and capable of receiving the good. Now he says, what's the right kavana in the mitzvahs? There are some people that do mitzvahs because of the good that they're going to get. Yes?
When Neri said what's the kavanah of the mitzvahs, was there referring to what the kavanah of a person doing?
Yes. He says there are people on a lower madrega that their kavanah in the mitzvahs are to be able to get that good that's promised afterwards. And that's the reason for their doing the mitzvahs. He says that's fine. These people are zochet being an Eden, but they haven't gotten to the real tachlis of the mitzvahs. But avol yesh asher zochet v'nosel lehem Hashem Yisbarach lev l'das alakim milos amulos. There are people that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them the awareness and understanding to recognize the divine milos. In other words, what a higher form of life is, and through that recognition they become tied with an ava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so that their entire being becomes focused on fulfilling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, because that's what they desire. And the fact that there's going to be some reward at the end is not what they're paying attention to. And that's the real Mila which the others wanted to, and many of their children. Let's talk about this. Let's shoot up a drop. Let's give an example. Let's say somebody is dating a young man or young woman one is told that they're very, very infatuated with music. They love classical music, and it's something that if you want to win his or her heart, you've got to shower them with all sorts of tickets to concerts, records, etc., etc. Now, one person is not musically inclined, but he likes this other person. So he asks a maven, and the maven tells him, you buy Beethoven's this, Beethoven's that, you get tickets for that performance, the other performance, etc., etc. And the person spends time, effort, energy to shower the gifts upon the other person with the hopes of getting married and so on. So the person hasn't connected to the means. The means are means. He does want what comes out of it. If this is the way to court the other person, because the other person likes it, or even more than that, I'd like the other person to feel happy, so fine, I do it. So that is fine. It might get you where you want to get to, but it always remains as a means and an end that's different. Then there's another person that I tell him, you know, the way to her heart is through classical music, and the person gets into Beethoven himself, and he gets he begins to understand the beauty of music, and in the music itself he finds the bond with the other person. The same thing is in the world of mitzvahs. There's one attitude where a person says, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's good, and he promised good, and he told us do these mitzvahs, they're all gzeres hakasevs, and they're all paradumas, do them, and that will give you the greater good. And the person does it, and he does it because he knows, he believes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good, and he's very happy with it, but he remains an outsider to the process. So it's fine, but it's not really the dimension of mitzvahs that's the tachlis. A person who gets into mitzvahs and begins to feel the good of the mitzvahs, they're not just the other person's whims, but the person himself relates to the content of the mitzvahs themselves become the kesher with the Ribono Shel Olam, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the content of those mitzvahs, and when you have a feeling for those mitzvahs, when you have the feel for it, the flavor for it, that becomes the content of the person's life, and it becomes his mitzvahs. So so he's saying that the point of all the mitzvahs is the sense that the content of the mitzvahs is the kesher HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next paragraph, umiato beyosa nafsa teina zabini mitzvahs Baruch Hu, being that that's how we understand the mitzvahs, then we begin to understand the purpose of a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, we need a place where the feelings and the sense of divine and godliness within the mitzvahs has a place where to express itself. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a house, quote-unquote, to be with people, and nothing contains HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't need their honor, doesn't need any of those things. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to change, to become more divine, to become more, to become clear of our physicality, our material selves, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a place. Want a place that was clean in a spiritual sense, where people can cleanse their thoughts, where people can focus their hearts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose this place and prepared it for that good for people. Maybe because it's the midpoint of the world, the Middle East is kind of the midpoint of the world, or maybe for some other reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. And because that's a place where we can most exceptionally prepare ourselves, that's where we can find the real kavana and meaning and so on. Let's discuss a piece about this a minute. It's interesting, the main function of Beis HaMikdash was karbanis, like I said before, in Alila Regal. Karbanis start in the Torah as an adava. In other words, the Torah introduces in Vayikra, it introduces the first karbanis, the karbanis nedava, as opposed, yes, there are karbanis that are chova, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduces karbanis as nedava. The reason is because, the Maral speaks about it in certain places, if I can give a mashal, let's first, I guess, preface the issue. You find the Navi says countless times, why do you bring me karbanis? I don't need them. I don't want them. I'm sick of them. They make me. They disgust me. You're killing the. You're letting the mishpat of the yasman amana go, and you're robbing people, and you're doing tzedakah, and so on and so on and so forth. You never ever find a navi say, well, why are you guys wearing talis and tefillin if you're not treating the yasman amana right? And why are you eating matzah? And why are you this? And why are you that? The only thing that the Navi harps on is karbanis, as when he's talking about the bad versus the so-called good they're doing. And the reason is because mitzvahs come in two ways. There are mitzvahs that are, if I can give a mashal, in a house you have plumbing, which is quite necessary and quite vital, and you have decorations and flowers and stuff like that. Now, if I have a leak in the house and a guy comes to fix it, and the guy is surly, the guy is rude, the guy is smelly, but he fixes the pipe and it's there, and even if it charges a bit, You can't take away from the fact they fixed the pipe, and the pipe is fixed, and it's working. And I'll never say to him, what's the point of fixing the pipes if you're so rude or mean or whatever it is? On the other hand, somebody brings me a bouquet of flowers or some tchotchke to decorate the house with, and the person is rude, surly, mean, etc. There I'll tell them, take the flowers and get out of here. What, you know, it's nauseating, the little gifts, the gifts. And the answer is because when it comes to necessity, so the act is what's important, and the rest is nice. It's nice to have a friendly plumber, but, you know, as long as you fix the pipe well, that's good for you. And then you have activities that are, I guess, nimishos, and where the ikar is their expressions of love, etc., and respect, love, appreciation, and so on. Those things, when there's a contrast about the message that's being sent, it becomes an abomination. So when you have the world of mitzvahs, if we can say, generally speaking, the world of mitzvahs relates to activities that have to be done. You have to wear talis, you have to wear tefillin. So those are activities that, even if the person's other activities are not in line with it, they're going to still... it's done. It is. He had to wear tefillin. There's no p'tur on tefillin, even if you're doing, you know, whatever you're doing. The Vel says that your Yeravim Nevat is going to give a din b'cheshm. They didn't wash negel vasa. It doesn't make a difference. Those are mitzvahs chiyuvias, and they have to be done. Karbanis are by and large part of the world of nidvas leif. And there are things that a person doesn't have to, but he brings it to appreciate, to express love, to appreciation, thanks, remorse, etc. If a person's other actions are belie that, then that becomes an abomination. You know, you're sending me flowers and you're making rude remarks to me. What's the point of having it? So the answer is that a person needs to understand in the world of Beis HaMikdash there's a much stronger gilui of ahava. It's much more a sharper sense where other mitzvahs are incumbent and you do it because you have to do it to be schar. Karbanos and Beis HaMikdash as a whole are a much sharper sense of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of the emotion and the feeling and so on and so forth. Next paragraph. He says, he was trying to explain, is the Beis HaMikdash, it says that the Kedusha is there even if it's next to Charev, so what's the point of, what's the difference if you have it or you don't have it? He says, V'alderech ha-pshat al-tzad ezeh nefarash shriyas ha-shchinim ha-kmahu. That's how we'll explain ha-shoras ha-shchinim Beis HaMikdash. Even though Chazal say, Kedusha san-leh ha-puk shem shomim, which seems to be mashma that it's there even if we don't do any avoda, even if the ovdim are not doing anything. So he says it means the place has potential. It's sort of like a socket. It's got what's needed there, and that's why you can't plunge your hand into it. But it doesn't really produce what it ought to produce until people don't actually engage in Avodas Beis HaMikdash. So the point of it's always the Kedusha is there always in potential. This is so to speak the source where HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared to radiate Kedusha on Klal Yisrael, but it gets radiated in proportion to how much Klal Yisrael develops the place in terms of Avodas Hashem and so on. We're going to skim the next piece. The next piece is quite famous. It's Takeoff Ramban, and maybe we'll see it later in Vayikra. He says that also the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash is there to help a person. It's there to help a person develop his feelings towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he quotes Ramban extensively, we'll just skim through it, that when a person brings a carbon as a kapara, then the person is going to he's going to imagine himself going through some sort of punitive process where he is suffering, and it's sort of, he's doing it viscerally through the vicariously through the carbon. And so the avodah of karbanis itself helps a person come to those realizations. He also adds the other hand, the next paragraph, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to bring karbanis from things that a person is very tied with, things that a person is very attached to, meat, wine, and bread. Those are the three material staples of a person's food. In order that a person be more misorer, the poor person has to bring from a carbon from flour. He's waiting all day for his little flour to make a little bagel out of it, and he's bringing that. So he says that these are all things that help a person. When a person has to give away something very precious to him, very life-giving to him, and so on, he is very turned on. He goes through, we're going to skip the next few pieces, where he goes through the various different karbanis. We will try to do it by karbanis more, and I want to go to the last paragraph or two. Ubeinyan chilka karbanis, that's two paragraphs. Bishchitos natan stanchel kahani yosef teim rabiv. He says, and this is a point where he sort of is explaining the fork in the road between the Balei Pshat and Balei Kabbalah. Yes?
Are you talking about the different types of korbanos that can be brought? Are we talking about here?
The last two paragraphs?
Yeah.
No, he's going to speak about understanding korbanos really well.
Uh-huh.
Now he did go a little bit through some korbanos before, but we'll probably talk about it in Vayikra. It's not the place for it. Mm-hmm. But he says like this. This is sort of a fork in the road. It's true. Both elements are true because of depending on the plane that we're talking about. The Rambam says in Pirush in Mor Nevuchim that I will explain to you many of the prophecies, the Mishalim, and so on. But don't ask me to explain all the details, because all the details don't have to have a meaning. For instance, let's Lahavdol of Abdullah. Let's say somebody writes a really good novel or story. So the main points of the play have a meaning to it. But why the guy have the bagel that morning instead of a tuna fish sandwich? You know what? At some point you can say, I need to fill in a story and I need to draw it out. Use your good seichel understanding why X is listed and not Y, and why Y is listed and not Z. Those are important points. Why A and not B, or B and not C, those are not significant points. So the Rambam says, when I take a nevuah, I can explain the nevuah based on its main points. We need to flesh out something. So like somebody once said about somebody who's being medayik a Rambam, he said, you know, if the Rambam wrote it the way you want it, it would look like a grocery list. It wouldn't read. It is a correct interpretation. The Balei Pshat, the Radak, will say sometimes that a Navi is repeating the same point in different words for expression. That's where you express something. You repeat it in different words, and it is a correct understanding of Derech HaPshat. And that's what he says here also. He says, the Rambam's approach, which is Derech HaPshat, meaning people using their seichel and their common experiences to read it and understand what the message is, will get meaning in everything on the general level. Don't ask me every single detail of the carbon. It's supposed to look nice. The base mixers look nice. The candles look nice. So, you know, they have decorations. They have this. They have that. Don't get stuck up with every little detail. In the world of human pshat, that is correct. But, so he says, if you're going to, all the details, he says, if I'm going to try to get some of those details, lo nala videnu aktivu nairus, and come with stupidities. Uklal advar, ki gam bepshotim lo insa denu aktivu bulti saram kubalim. And the truth is that even on the level of pshat, we're not going to be able to get to the fullness of understanding without Kabbalah. Va'aleihem, he says, ve'aleihem nichra apayim, we must bow, v'yiftchulonu k'chol einayim. So the Kabbalah, the understanding of Kabbalah, gives us an understanding Alpi, gives us an understanding of the details, because every single prat to prat has a meaning of Kabbalah. But so in the Derech HaPshat, which he's giving an understanding of, speaks well on the Kalala Inyan. It can't deal with all the pratim in a meaningful way, and we recognize that there's another world where there are pratim and so on. Yes.
Doesn't that suggest a superiority to the Kabbalah?
Okay. So let's talk about this point once we've been asked. There is a superiority, and expressed, Rabbi Saul Salanta expressed it in a certain way. I'm not sure that he was quoted accurately, but he was quoted as follows. Someone asked about learning Kabbalah, and he says, what do I care how many malachim there are in Rikiyim? All I know is Yisrael Solanta is going to be held accountable for everything he does wrong, and it's going to hurt, and etc., etc. I'm not sure, it's a quote, it's not saying, didn't write it, it's a story. I mean, Chas v'Shalom, it's a chelek haTorah. Somebody's going to say, what do I care that I don't know some abstract sugya, some abstruse sugya, and kinim, saying it's not nageya. What do you mean? You call it Torah is a chiyuv, and so on and so forth. Kabbalah for the person that's moshes and chiyuv. What I think he meant to say was as follows. If you come to a person and you tell him, and the first message a person is, what's the Beis HaMikdash about? It's the place where hearts get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a place where a person is impressed with this and this. A person has remorse and so on. And we do a Derech HaPshat, it speaks to the person, and the person is turned on. Let's say if our first approach to a person is, well, you got to go to the Beis HaMikdash because the tikkun of this sphera happens with the other sphera only when it's mizdavik in this circumstance and there's an aliyah with that circumstance and that. To the Arizal, this was real life. To most other people, it's a cop-out. And there's no hisoris of the person himself. It's like I've watched somebody daven al pi kavanis, and you know, this person, again, because I know the person, I allow myself to say it. It was a mechanical activity. He was busy dealing with spheres, and he wasn't saying, there was no sense that the person was saying, Ata gibol olam Hashem, mechaye meisim ato, rav lo yishia. It's like, he was so busy with the nuts and bolts that there wasn't a sense of the person's hispilus. And it's dargis. We need to start up in derech hapshat, because that's the derech for us. As we climb the ladder, and as the other worlds become meaningful, significant, then we can it can mean something. It's the same thing like in any discipline. As an outsider, the nuts and bolts are not meaningful. What happens is we sideline the understandings that can be meaningful to us, and we reach a world with just another game. And that was one of the tainus. I spoke to somebody who is a big Mekubal, and for many years he was Makar of people, were teaching them kind of Kabbalah on a lower level, but he felt, and he told me, because it attracted people, and people sort of got into it, and people became very frum, and he felt he was being Matzliach. He told me a while back, I've changed my mind. It lasts temporarily. There's no shortcut to it. And they fall away. If a person who's not used to sichlius, once you get past the first, second lesson, and it's just drag, it's another sphere going to another thing, another exception to the rule, and we forgot to tell you which olam it is now, it becomes dry and meaningless. And therefore, it's not the right way to go about it. It is right. I also would like to share an anecdote, and I guess in Ruach with the Chinuch, that the chinuch is with the chinuch is writing it for his son. I just want to share an anecdote, which I think is, from a chinuch point of view, very important. I was once at a mesiba. This is going back something like 40 years ago, and there were a lot of chasher people there. It was a mesiba sedor for somebody. One person spoke. There was some very chasher mechamim. One person a few people were there who were Talmidim of Hutna and were Yonik from his Torah and were into it. One person spoke, and he spoke about abstruse things that were meaningless to the audience there. And it looked more like a game. This is this Bechina, that's that Bechina, that's why he couldn't go from this to this. The other one, I don't know, it didn't strike anywhere. The other person was a Talmud and also had a lot of Seichel. He took a fine point and brought it down to the language that people found meaningful. And he was Yonik. He sort of drew an irrigation ditch from his Rebbe's well and made something flower that could really be nice. The same person, I happened to be by Rosh Chodesh Adar. This is also going back 41 years ago about. He had a 10-year-old boy at that time. Today this boy is a fine younger man, who was a very smart kid. And he asked his father with a smirk. He heard that the Arizal says that Yom Kippurim, that Yom Kippur is like Purim. It's not even like Purim. How is that? The kid sensed that this is like big time stuff. And the father was very thoughtful for a few minutes. And then he said, let's think of it this way. Both of them are days with opportunities for tshuva, each in their own way. And I was so impressed. He took the point and asked himself, how do I give it over in a way to explain it to the kid? And he put it into words. He's right. Is it going through all the details? Is he going to tell us which sphere goes where and what? Why? For the kid, that's Hefech Torah. Because it takes the feeling out of it and becomes another, like the person like a plumber. It's which pipe goes to which point and which wire gets connected to what wire. So he's saying we can't know the fullness of the truth until we don't have Kabbalah. But he himself is writing a sefer for his son. Don't teach us on that way. The fullness of the details are not what's important. What's important is to get the sense of the mitzvah. And every person has to make a Chesed Nefesh for himself when he's shaking a lulav and an esrig and he's doing nanuim. What level of kavana speaks to him? All the kavanas are right. Every single one, if it's al-pi Torah, it's right. For one person, that the zer anpin is going up, is going down to the nukva and being mashpia, it talks to him, it moves him, and he's a whole different person because of it. Ashrehu v'tovel, that's the right person. That's the right. But for most people, the idea that we're being mishabech and mahala kadosh baruch hu for the good, this is the beauty and the goodness that's for us. Another person will see in it. The bringing together all of Klal Yisrael together, being mishabech kadosh baruch hu, the beauty of that. Another person will see the entirety of the person. The kavana in a mitzvah has ayin panim to it for the reason that he said before, because it's to bring the person together. I would like just to finish off with his last paragraph here. And he says, V'ulam enakar seidem ikata ksilim v'tenikol chayim v'dvarim. Don't think we're fools because of the approach we use. Ki b'psoilas rav me'at ochel nimtzaitim. Even when you have a lot of chaff, there's grains there. And Chazal also. Chazal pick out from mitzvahs. Korban Soita is Soirim because you're also Maisa Behema. Korban Mitzoyer is also Maisa Patit. And Chazal say, by a need of Ne'al Matar Shev Shiv Nekim Shech Vil V'yoysa. V'be'em Eshein Kol Zol Adait and Tasa Kavan Az Bidvarim. It is not meant to be the exhaustive, final Emes Lamito Shalamito Deke Answer. Rak Lo Dia Ki Yemitzah Yisbol Harbi Rimazim Mivari Kerek Don Chazakim. It's coming to teach us that a mitzvah includes many truths, even when you fall short of the final truth, quote-unquote, ultimate truth, etc. It's very important to understand that point. There is many truths. The truth is in Kabbalah, but like Rosh Salanta said, if the person doesn't find it stimulating, doesn't find it moving, doesn't find it genuinely moving, then it's not a kavana. If you're talking about a halacha, whether you find it moving or stimulating or not, that's what you should do. But when we talk about kavana, a person has to know where he's holding, what talks to him, and act if you that. Okay.